Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 4th of January. I'm Paul White. Good to have you with me today. I want to remind you, coming up the second Sunday of the month of January, that is the 14th, just about a week and a half away, I will be at Pathway Church McKinney. This is in McKinney, Texas. Special start time. This is tentative, so keep watching my website and our Facebook page. They normally start at 11 a.m. I've been told we're doing an early start. I have an early flight out that day, and so I think we're starting at 9:30 a.m. Again, watch paulwhiteministries.com/schedule. Watch our Facebook page, and I'm sure Pathway Church's Facebook page. Pastor Gary and Linda Marone invite everybody to be with us. We've had a great time there with them before. Looking forward to it again. It's located at 8416 Stacy Road, McKinney, Texas, 75070. And come be with us. They have a website, pathwaymckinney.com. We are in Galatians chapter 1. Oh, also, by the way, that weekend we'll be in a couple of home groups. I've got the website. We have the addresses for those. They're in and around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, one on Friday night, one on Saturday night. Galatians chapter 1, verse 2, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. We are in our Galatians verse-by-verse study. We've just really got started the last few days as we laid the foundation and yesterday dealt with that first verse, its comparison to John 1. I think I made mention of this when we framed this book up on the first and second of the month, that this is Paul's only letter that is specifically addressed to a number of churches. John does that in Revelation when he's writing to the seven churches at Asia, but Paul doesn't normally do that. He writes to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Philippi. But here it's to the churches of Galatia, because Galatia is a region. It's not a city. It's a region, an area, and it was a name given by the Romans to a group of Celtic people who had migrated to Asia Minor. From the north, they originally lived in Gaul, and here are all these Gentiles living in this region of Galatia. So this is one of the most decided looks at the Apostle Paul's gospel to the Gentile people. And so this whole letter is not to one church, but to a region of churches who have been infiltrated, apparently, based upon where we're going to go in this, infiltrated with what we in the grace community would call the mixture message. Someone has went in to these Galatian Christians and began to introduce to them the formulas of Judaism and has tried to convince this group of Christians that they need to add, and I don't know that anyone else would have ever said this. This is my saying, but I'll do it. I'll say it, add a little Moses to your Jesus. Now, again, I don't think that's how they would have pitched it. I think it would have been pitched along the lines that the early church questions the way they should do it, questions whether or not they should do it in Acts 15. So you want to see what the early church might have thought about the Gentiles keeping the law of Moses, then you go to the first few verses of the 15th chapter of Acts, and you watch Pharisees who've come into the faith, by the way, who are teaching a return to Moses, and they teach it. Acts 15:1, certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And so that basically got it started. I know this is what's happening in Galatia, because Paul deals very heavily with the idea of circumcision as he unveils the fullness of this book. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to get off topic, but verse 3 is yet another proof to me that Paul doesn't pen the book of Hebrews, because every single Pauline epistle contains a couple of telltale marks. Number one, Paul signs his name to every book. Number two, Paul always greets his audience with grace and peace, or in the case of Timothy and Titus, grace, mercy, and peace. And that's interesting that in the cases of Timothy and Titus, two guys in which he's not writing to a church, but writing to an individual, he includes mercy. It's almost as if he knows he's writing to two guys who are trying to lead churches, and there's a great heavy burden on leadership. There was in that day, there is today, there probably always will be, and that great burden requires some mercy Paul's praying for Timothy and Titus that God, not only do I present to you grace and peace, but I pray the mercy of God be with you. He doesn't do that to the Galatians or the Ephesians or the Philippians, etc. To them, and to the Galatians in chapter 1, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So grace is ever on his lips. He is always promoting the gospel of grace to his reader, to his listener. And with the gospel of grace always comes peace. Grace and peace go hand in hand. A man who begins to have a revelation of the grace of God in his life will, by default, have a revelation of the peace of God. I don't know that it's possible to really have a revelation of grace and not have somewhat of a revelation of God's peace. Because as I don't mean you'll go through peaceful moments. In fact, coming into a revelation of grace will almost put you into the middle of a war, particularly with people who knew you or who try to influence you religiously, people who've been part of your life, your journey, your background, your past. But you come into grace, you will go from sometimes the status quo to an outsider. That's not peaceful, but there'll be a peace in the midst of that storm that's unlike anything you've ever experienced, along with a renewed excitement and interest in the things of God. I had someone contact me recently that's just come into a real revelation of sonship, and they said, this is brand new all over again. They said, I've not wanted to study or investigate these things at this level in years, and I'm actively involved in church ministry. And my internal response to that is, well, that goes against the detractors of grace who say, this message of grace will make you lazy and not study your Bible. And they're really saying that because once they see restrictions lifted, they're afraid people will just stop doing things. But when you have a real revelation of grace, there's a peace that comes into you. You don't perform out of the need to please God or to impress God, but you sure do enjoy those intimate moments with him that are defined by relationship and not by religion. They are defined by peace and not performance. And in that, you find such a great rest. So grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's why I like to always open the DDP with grace and peace, because it's Paul's introduction. I've found it to be, it flows off the tongue. It flows out of the heart. And I've seen it happen 1,000 times. When grace enters, peace is with that. And I want you to experience that and for you to know that. We will go into verse 4 tomorrow, where Paul gives a description of who Jesus is and what Jesus is going to do. And we'll get into some good stuff on this present evil age. What day and time is the Apostle Paul referring to? We'll cover that tomorrow on the DDP. I'll see you then. God bless.